What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Sheryl Selman, your host. I'm a naturopathic doctor, author, and women's passionate health advocate. And as always, it's such a pleasure to have you joining me today. Today is part of a month-long focus on Natural Breast Health Awareness Month. As we know, October's been associated with everything related to Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's time to have our focus shifted to Breast Health Awareness Month, how to prevent and heal breast cancer naturally. So throughout the month of October, I will be interviewing leading experts, researchers, authors who are providing the pieces of the puzzle to help us prevent and heal breast cancer naturally. This is the real message that we need to be getting out to women around the world so we can truly step into our power, become fully educated, which allows us to make informed decisions. Without all of the facts, it's really hard to make the right decisions. So to get my weekly Natural Breast Awareness Month reports, my e-blasts, my archive shows, I encourage you to do one of two things, or do them both. Either go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, and opt in to my newsletter. Not only will you be sent weekly the archive shows from my two weekly shows, the show today, What Women Must Know, and then my Sunday show, which is the Women's Healing Circle. So you can just opt in to whatwomenmustknow.com, and then they get sent to you each week along with special reports, lots of great information, articles, announcements, tips, the lot. The other option is to like me at Facebook. The tagline is What Women Must Know, the proper address. So go to Facebook, go to What Women Must Know, and just like me there. And if you go and like me over at Facebook, then you will also have access to weekly, actually daily communications. That, again, is a way that I can disseminate all of the information that I have so we can spread it around freely and really become truly the wise women we are meant to be. So that's Facebook at What Women Must Know. Lots of great things going on my Facebook page. And for certain, go up to whatwomenmustknow.com, my website, which is about to get a new facelift, which is really exciting, and opt in for my newsletter, and also to be on the list to get these wonderful special reports, lots of great information for women. It, you know, accessing this information has absolutely changed my life and my health. And after going through such a challenging time with my health issues and then finding my way through and out of that challenging and I would say dark time of my life, I have really been committed to supporting women so they can really understand what is occurring and then be able to get back into balance, back into health naturally without the use of drugs and other more radical interventions. So that's all possible, and information is there. So today, as part of Breast Health Awareness Month, I've asked Angelo Druda to be my guest. Angelo Druda, who has been a guest many times on my show, and if you've been opting into my web site, my newsletter, or going onto my Facebook page, you will also be aware that one of the exciting projects I've been doing is creating a six-week series called Natural Hormone Rejuvenation and How Ancient Wisdom is Able to Help Modern Women. And I've been doing these series of conversations with Angelo Druda. So he has been allowing us to partake of the great wisdom that he has when it comes to women's health. Angelo Druda is a renowned Chinese herbalist who's been practicing for over 20 years. He is the author of The Tao of Rejuvenation. He contributes to numerous magazines and lectures widely throughout the United States and even overseas at times. And he is always a font of wisdom and my Chinese medicine guru. So it's such a pleasure to have Angelo with us today. And we're going to be talking about understanding breast health from the perspective and the wisdom of traditional Chinese medicine, what it means, what is really required to support breast health, what happens when we have breast issues, what, from the Chinese perspective, are the drivers to chronic conditions in our breast that potentially can even down the track result in breast cancer. So, Angelo, it's such a pleasure, as always, to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you, Dr. Selman. Thank you so much.
Well, we've been having such great conversations, haven't we? I always learn so much, and this is just another opportunity to focus specifically on the topic that has become the focus for the month of October. And we always have great things to share, and I certainly appreciate everything I learned from you.
No, these have been great conversations for me, too, and you're doing wonderful work there. Good on you, Dr. Selman. Good on you.
Good Australian term. Thank you. So, Angelo, let's kind of get right. You know, we have this entire show. We have an hour to really flesh out from a Chinese perspective what goes on with the energies and the imbalances and issues that are contributing to the problems we have with our breast health. You know, when we talk about breast cancer, it's really important for people to understand that it takes many, many, many years for an imbalance going on in the body, manifesting in the breast, to actually show up into a physical structure called breast cancer. So this is why it's so important to understand the signs, the symptoms, read them early, and in a sense, change the health of your body and change your destiny.
Yeah, absolutely. Critical point. Critical point.
So let's explore the understanding of breast health and breast cancer from the traditional Chinese medicine, the TCM perspective.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, breast cancer does appear in the ancient medical texts of China. It is not only a modern disease, but it shows up in the ancient texts long before the advent of the Industrial Revolution, long before the planet Earth was awash in synthetic toxins. Breast cancer was still recognized hundreds of years ago to be one of the four life-threatening diseases that early ancient Oriental doctors had to contend with in their practice. Now, what I find interesting about that is that so many of us feel in this modern age that the toxicity, the synthetic petroleum-based toxins, which are everywhere now in our environment, plays a big part in breast cancer, and I certainly concur with that. But it's interesting to note that breast cancer was still showing up as a significant problem prior to the Industrial Revolution. And if you look at those ancient medical texts, the cause they pointed to for breast cancer was emotional unhappiness, emotional distress. Depression is the cause that is given in the early texts. An unhappy person, a person who is dealing with a great deal of negativity in their life, a person who feels even trapped in a situation that they cannot resolve. This is the ancient cause that is listed in the ancient textbooks. So it appeared and appeared way back hundreds of years ago, and it continues to appear today. And this has been a problem as long as we know about. Now, my own point of view is that these matters of emotional depression, feeling trapped in a emotional double bind circumstance, absolutely is fundamental to many of these situations. But clearly, I think everything nowadays is magnified by this toxic component, which just seems to find its way into everybody's life, because so many of the things, I mean, I'm sitting in my office here, and so many of these manufactured items are carrying some level of synthetic toxicity with them. So it was there in the early days, and it remains to this day. But I think it's interesting to note that the earliest doctors did point to emotional depression as being the root cause, unrelieved emotional depression as being the root cause of this disease.
You know, that's so interesting, because I remember interviewing a Chinese medical practitioner, this was many years ago, who has written several books on women's health and menopause, and what I was interviewing him about was his experience with breast cancer, and he told me that he has treated 300 women in his practice with breast cancer, and he said what he has found consistently with every single woman was that they were all dealing with issues of anger or suppressed anger, and suppressed anger, of course, kind of depression kind of masks, suppressed anger. So these were issues that he found that were serious, issues that every one of the 300 women who were diagnosed with breast cancer were dealing with, which I found really, really interesting as the realization and the understanding that every disease has an emotional component, and there are things that can exacerbate and aggravate conditions, but that, emotional component is there. And one other thing I want to say, when I had a previous conversation last week, actually, with Dr. David Zava, who is an expert on breast health and has written books on it, and has a lab where he actually looks at hormone levels, a saliva testing lab, and does other testing. And I asked him specifically the question, which I've never really asked point blank, is what is it about estrogen that causes the risk of breast cancer? And he said it really goes back to the body's ability to detoxify the hormones. It's not so much just taking these hormones or hormone-like chemicals into the body and having hormonal imbalances. It's critical that the body is able to effectively detoxify them. And that kind of plays into some of the pathologies from a Chinese medicine perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. For example, let's consider the liver, the organ, the liver, which is responsible for detoxification of the blood in the body. And yet in Chinese medicine, the liver is understood to be so much more than merely a blood filter. It is understood in Chinese medicine that there are subtle components to the liver, and these components root deep into our emotional and psychic energies in the body. And the liver, more than any organ, really reflects all the emotional stresses and difficulties that we're going through. And so when you consider the most superficial pattern that, as you talked about earlier in this show, there is a development. All deadly diseases, or breast cancer specifically, develops over a period of time. And it begins with a superficial pattern of imbalance. Well, the superficial pattern of imbalance in breast cancer is this, what is described in Oriental medicine as liver qi stagnation. In other words, there is some kind of an emotional stress that is affecting the liver, and it is affecting the liver to the point where the energy, the blood, and the lymph is not flowing freely anymore. Instead of getting free flow around the area of the liver, and of course the breast, that very specific and special tissue of the breast is right there, located in the body right next to the liver. So these situations of emotional depression, emotional difficulty, having to process a constant amount of negative energy, and this feeling of being caught in a double bind, this double bind situation that so many of us can feel at some point in our life, the sense that we're trapped in something and we cannot extricate ourselves from this trap. The sense of being trapped in a circumstance, trapped by circumstances, and not being able to get free of that trap is a very powerful force in the body. And even though many times it may not even be registering in the conscious mind, at a subconscious level is having a very powerful effect on the body. The sense of being trapped is reflected in the body as the chi being trapped in the body, and the qi, the life force, being trapped around the liver. And when you get this pattern of liver qi stagnation, then you're also, the function of the liver as a blood filter, you see, is being compromised. So now, not only do we have this point of stagnation in the flow of qi and blood and lymph in the body, but now the liver is not doing its necessary job efficiently and effectively of detoxifying the blood and detoxifying some of these negative hormones, as you were just describing. Is that clear? Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, it actually does. And I think this is such important information for any woman dealing with issues. I mean, yes, obviously we need to look at diet. We need to look at more effective detoxification, but we cannot ignore the role of emotions. And that's why when you're doing a holistic approach of healing of any condition, any illness, any disease, it has to be incorporating ways to address emotional issues, emotional wounds, emotional misperceptions, as I like to call it. As a psychotherapist, I would work with very powerful tools that could go in and release these deep, deep, deep wounds that are subverting the natural flow of energy. And without addressing them, they will impact on organ systems in the body.
They absolutely will impact on organ systems in the body. And as you well know, and as any health practitioner knows, this is the most challenging and difficult part of healing. We can take medicines into the body, we can do detoxification, but when we feel stuck in these emotionally negative circumstances, these are the most challenging things to turn around. But it is absolutely critical. I mean, an unhappy negative circumstance allowed to persist month after month, year after year, is going to take, at some point, a terrible toll in the body, as you're describing.
So when I talked to this Chinese herbalist about breast cancer, he was talking about the meridians that flow through the breast, these energy systems, and there are different parts of the breast that reflect different meridians, and each meridian has an emotion. I think it's just kind of an interesting theme to pursue for a little bit longer, and we have other things we want to talk about. But I do find it fascinating because it seems to be clues for women to look deeper as to what might be out of balance. And as always, when you have a chronic illness, it is the condition of a chronic long-term imbalance, suppression, some issues, or, you know, generally issues, plural, that have been brewing for a really, really long, long time, and not something that just appears overnight. So can you just elaborate a little bit more? Because I do find it really interesting.
Well, one of the great virtues of Oriental medicine is its ability to look at the etiology, the development of a disease, from its root inception, observe that root pattern, and observe the developmental patterns that appear subsequently, and describe these patterns in fairly clear terms, in fairly simple terms. And what we describe as this, and we've already been talking about it, as this pattern of qi stagnation. There is no longer free flow in the body. Is really the most superficial manifestation of the pattern, which is acknowledged now in Oriental medicine to be a pattern that will eventually and could eventually lead to breast cancer. This pattern of the reduction of free flow in the liver. The liver is understood to be this organ that is regulating, smoothing, moving an abundance of life force through the body. The liver is located in the chest. And there's a saying that comes out of ancient Oriental medicine. One of its statements of facts is, where there is not free flow, things begin to grow. And, you know, we can see this if you get a contusion on your body, you get a bruise, if you get some kind of a trauma to the skin, people will notice that the blood rushes to that area of trauma. You get a contusion. And pretty soon you can see all that redness and purple bruising there. Well, what is that redness? What is that purple bruising? That's blood that has become stagnated around the area of trauma. The vessels, the pathways of the blood have been damaged. So the blood is no longer freely flowing in the circulatory pathways. Now it's coagulating around a point of trauma. And so that point of trauma, that contusion, becomes an obstruction to free flow in the body. Well, there's something similarly happening on a much subtler level when we are dealing with emotional shocks in the liver, when we become depressed. And the emotion that is typically understood to be associated with the liver is the emotion of anger. Now, women will see this quite commonly over the course of their menstrual cycle. Many, many women report that from mid-cycle to the onset of the period, many, many women experience an increase in emotions and an increase in anger. And this is really, this anger is pointing to the fact that as the body begins to cycle from the mid-cycle to the onset of the period, the energy is building in the body to do the work of the period, the temperature is going up in the body, and women begin to notice in the premenstrual phase that some of that energy is getting trapped in the liver. And what does it feel like when the energy is trapped in the liver? Well, anger. Anger is that emotion that that spasm of energy, that spasm of emotion, is really an attempt to relieve the congestion that the person feels. So anger is a typical sign of energy being trapped in the liver. And in Chinese medicine, this pattern of liver qi stagnation is observed to be the first sign that we're not enjoying complete and efficient liver function, very common in premenstrual women. And the signs of this can be, as we said, people can be dealing with anger. Sometimes women get sore and swollen breasts. Sign of breast distension can be pointing to the fact that there's not free flow of qi through the liver and through the breast tissue. So that's another sign. I always like to tell women, do not allow sore and swollen breasts to become a chronic pattern. It's fine if it happens here and there, but when women are reporting to me, yes, I get sore and swollen breasts and have for several years, then this is a sign that this pattern of liver qi stagnation is becoming chronic. And if this pattern is allowed to become chronic, then that superficial pattern of liver qi stagnation can begin to become a deeper pattern of organ dysfunction, and that is when we can start seeing some real difficulty beginning to develop.
So the liver plays a major role in our moods and our endocrine health, our hormones, our emotions, especially feeling frustrated or angry or depressed or trapped, will compromise the liver. If the liver is already overworked and toxic, it will exacerbate feelings of anger, frustration, whatever. So it depends where you are in that cycle, which just leads us to the realization how important it is to support our liver and support its ability to properly do its function, to detoxify. It, of course, it has many, many, many functions. And the liver is really under assault these days. It's so stressed because of the, the emotional imbalances, the toxins in the environment, one of the big problems, because I'm really looking into the many consequences of being overweight and obese, is the growing problem of when we put on extra fat, we're also putting on something that's not particularly visible to us. That's extra fat in the liver, in the kidneys, in the pancreas, in the arteries. And it's just putting additional stress on those systems.
Absolutely, and it's also causing a greater retention of estrogen, typically, in the body. And now you're retaining estrogen. The liver is not detoxifying the estrogen as well as it should. And this sets up a person for some difficulties down the line. So, yes, there are two critical functions. When people think of the liver, number one, we have the function of blood filter. Everybody knows about that one. But people have to also appreciate that the liver is mediating all of the emotional, psychic, and physical stresses of a human life, and nobody lives a human life and doesn't get a fair amount of that every day. So the liver is mediating these stresses, reacting to these stresses, and yes, the liver is under assault. It's a good term. If somebody has a gun pointed to their head, they're going to contract. They're going to feel a rather dramatic contraction of the body as it feels threatened. And that's a dramatic circumstance. But people feel threatened in all kinds of circumstances throughout the day. And the body may not be contracting as if someone has put a gun to our heads, but the liver is contracting, you see. The liver is contracting in that mood of threat. And immediately then you see the free flow of the blood, of the qi, of the lymph, it's all being compromised. And then, yes, the liver is under assault. The liver has to release that emotion. The liver has to open and relax again and permit the free flow of energy and blood again through the liver. And then the liver needs to be restored again to efficient and effective blood purification. So really the work of working with the liver, of helping the liver, of serving the liver, really never comes to an end. And when people go and take their classes in Tai Chi or Qigong, well, when you look at that exercise that they do for the liver, that first opening exercise that serves the liver is always about opening the liver. The person is called to make these big opening gestures with their hands and their arms and their body. Just open the body, open the liver, let things begin to flow again. And in fact, those were some of the names that were actually given to some of the early classical formulas, Chinese herbal formulas that were made hundreds of years ago. One of the names is restore the flow combination, restore free flow. And they have a beautiful description. They say the energy and the blood and the qi should flow through the liver like a fine, gentle rain. That is that kind of free, open, relaxed flow that they point to. So a good rule of thumb is whatever is good for the liver, whatever serves the liver, is ultimately going to serve to prevent more serious diseases like breast cancer from developing.
Okay, so let's take a break, and we'll continue this really important and fascinating discussion with Angelo Giuda, talking about the Chinese perspective of the causes, and we'll talk about some of the things we can do if we have a diagnosis as well from a TCM perspective when we come back. So this is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and we are having a special series for the entire month of October focusing on Healthy Breast Awareness Month, how to prevent and heal breast cancer naturally. So as part of this series, I have a wonderful guest with me today, Angelo Giuda, author of The Tao of Rejuvenation and a well-known Chinese herbalist who has treated women with breast cancer, and we're talking about ways to understand and to address the underlying issues that can lead to breast issues and potentially even such a chronic imbalance that can show up as breast cancer in your life. So, Angela, so I think we really did a great job explaining some of these underlying dynamics that are contributing to this pathology, and I think that's a great term in Chinese medicine. We talk about pathologies. They have well-defined imbalances that are generating conditions in the body leading to illness, which is really the result of some imbalance going on. So what are some of the early signs in the body that these imbalances that are occurring in our breast are trying to tell us?
Yes. Yes. Well, we've been talking about the most common sign, which is a pattern of stagnated flow of qi and life force through the liver, and everybody deals with that. It only really becomes a major issue when we don't deal with this pattern of stagnation in the liver. So that is the most superficial appearance of a pattern, which can lead to many things. And one of the things it can lead to is the disease we call breast cancer. So there is this initial pattern of stagnation, the energy is not flowing freely. And then somewhere down the line, in the case of breast cancer, we can see two other deeper patterns appear. And one is a pattern in the spleen, in the digestive system in the body, a breakdown of spleen energy, a breakdown of blood production. And the other pattern that we can see is a breakdown in the kidneys or the adrenal complex. And really, to make that, to simplify that whole matter, what we're really saying is at some point there is a breakdown in overall immunity in the body. Now, as many, many doctors have pointed out, the human body is always producing atypical cells on a regular basis. But if our immune system is strong, then the immune system can keep up with the task of clearing these bad cells out. But at some point there is a breakdown in spleen and kidney energy, and immunity begins to become compromised, then you see the immune system is not doing its job of clearing out these atypical cells. And with breast cancer specifically, at some point the description is a toxin infects the area of stagnation. So we have this chronic point of stagnation in the body, in the breasts, in the breast tissue. It's not being relieved. We're not doing the things early on that we need to do to relieve that pattern. And at some point, some kind of toxin gets into that area of stagnation. And that toxin can be an outside toxin coming in, a xenoestrogenic substance coming in from the outside. It could be an estrogenic substance not being metabolized by the body, not being filtered by the liver. And when that toxin invades into that area of stagnation and it is allowed to persist, then at some point we begin to get an acceleration of the breakdown of normal cell division. This is an imbalance now which is becoming effective at the level of the DNA, and we begin to get the development of a tumor in the breast. Now, these signs can be read at the earliest stages, and this is why, you know, we always say that it's easiest to treat an imbalance when it's at a superficial level. But when that imbalance has been allowed to persist to the point where we're beginning to get organic damage, we're getting biocellular damage in the body, we can still rejuvenate the body, we can still heal the body, but it's not as easy as it is when it's just a simple matter of a superficial pattern of liver qi stagnation. So in Chinese medicine, that pretty much is a description of the progression of the disease, and so it's always recommended for women, read the signs in the body. The menstrual cycle is a brilliant diagnostic tool. These imbalances that show up over the course of a complete menstrual cycle are not there to just be adapted to as unique anomalies of your particular body. Many of these signs are indications of real imbalances, superficial imbalances, and it's an excellent diagnostic indicator that can tell people, oh, look, this is liver qi stagnation. I'm very angry now during this week. This is a sign that my liver needs to be addressed. And so these early diagnostic indicators are just wonderful tools for rejuvenation.
Right, you know, and that's just such great information, which is why we need to pay attention to what's going on in your body. We need to pay attention to the symptoms, not mask them over, which tends to happen. It's just the paradigm of Western medicine. We do things not to really pay attention. We do things to eliminate discomfort. And we're missing a valuable communication from the body, because whenever you medicate a symptom, we are literally driving the imbalance deeper into the body that can lead to a more chronic condition down the track, because it's not alleviated. We're not really addressing the underlying problem, and if you just ignore it, it doesn't just magically and mysteriously disappear. It just gets more intransient.
Yes, and as they say, it's difficult for a lawyer to defend himself or herself in court, and it's difficult for a doctor to treat themselves. And there is a very strong impulse in the human body. It's even an unconscious impulse to cover over these signs. In fact, when a person comes into the office, and as you know, one of the chief forms of diagnosis in Oriental medicine is we take people's pulses. There are many pulse positions along the radial artery in the wrist, and we can feel these pulse positions. But when you're taught to take pulse diagnosis, you're taught that the clearest, the best pulse, the most accurate pulse is going to be the first one you feel, because almost immediately the person is unconsciously trying to convince the doctor that they're good. It's just something we're programmed to do as human beings, is convince ourselves and convince everybody else that we're good. And it's not a matter of being convinced that we're not good, but it is developing a level of discipline so that we can actually observe the signs of imbalance when they're superficial and not life-threatening. Be able to really see those signs in ourselves and use them not to make us feel bad about ourselves or feel like we're some terrible case that now needs to rush to the hospital, but just know this is a sign of imbalance, and this is telling me that I have to balance out that pattern with something else. It's not easy to do, but it's important to do, and of course that's really our function as health practitioners, medical practitioners, is to provide that kind of help to people in observing these signs and interpreting the meaning of the signs, and then also developing strategies to rebalance the body and restore balance to the body long before any of us get into any kind of deep trouble.
So what are some practical things women can be doing to support their you know, breast health, but also the underlying things that are impacting breast health?
Okay, this is good. There's a lot here. Well, first of all is treat this unhappiness with happiness. It's easy to say, very difficult to do, very difficult to make these major life changes, but do not consent to a circumstance that you find year after year to be not a good one. Try and change bad company into good company. Good company is happy, healthy, loving, life-supporting. Again, I appreciate how difficult it can be to change these circumstances. So that first thing really is not allow this double bind, this sense of being trapped emotionally to go on year after year after year. And if a person needs to get help from professionals to who can counsel them and how to make these changes, then they should do that. So that is the primary one and perhaps the most difficult of all the things to do. I love these systems of exercise that come from the East, like Tai Chi, Hatha Yoga, Qigong. What I love about these systems of exercise is that they pay conscious attention to the knots and the points of stagnation in the body. And the systems of exercise were actually developed to open and establish free flow in all the various parts of the body. So exercise systems like Hatha Yoga, Qigong, Tai Chi are wonderful. Wonderful. And I found them to be far more effective at opening up free flow in the body than even the classic aerobic exercises that many of us do. I personally like some combination of both. So these exercise systems are great for opening up the liver flow, opening up these knots in the body, restoring free flow so that we don't have all these little areas in the body that are drying up and not receiving the refreshment of blood and life force on a continuous basis. Within the context of Oriental medicine, there are some wonderful Oriental medical formulas that were specifically developed to establish free flow in the liver. They were established to strengthen the spleen and digestive circumstance. They can strengthen the adrenal kidney complex. So there are some wonderful herbal medicines in Oriental medicine. And this particular group of medicines are actually called harmonizing formulas because they harmonize the liver and the spleen. And these harmonizing formulas have become the basis of the gynecological formulas in Oriental gynecological medicine because they do work so effectively at opening up and freeing liver flow. And so there is great help there in herbal medicine. And just as an overall preventative of the development of malignant tumors in the body, cancers in the body, I definitely stand in that camp of maintaining the alkalinity of the body, maintaining the alkalinity of the blood is one of the most significant rejuvenative practices that we can do, is reduce the acidity of the body, maintain blood alkalinity in the body, use an abundance of these alkalizing green vegetables and alkalizing herbs, and restore and maintain the alkalinity of the body, the proper pH of the blood supply, is a very, very powerful tool. And some of these alternative systems of treating cancer, for example, Gerson, who was so effective in treating well-developed cancer, he treated it through taking in an abundance of vegetable juices every hour on the hour. Well, one of the ways this works is by restoring the proper pH in the body, which really sets off a very strong healing response in the body. So these are some of the things that women can do to ensure that this pattern does not get going to the point where it becomes life-threatening. I have a formula on my website, which I call Breast Care, in which I incorporate the principle of opening up free flow in the breasts. I incorporate some of the medicines that are being used today in China to fight cancers, to prevent cancers. And the way they actually work, these medicines, is by clearing those toxins out of the point of stagnation. And these formulas work very well, and if you went to a Chinese oncology hospital to be treated for breast cancer, in addition to all the other therapies that you are going to use, this formula would be one of the things that you would be put on a regular basis. So these are some of the things that people can do to prevent something like breast cancer from ever taking hold in the body.
So you actually have made your own formulas. You've created these tinctures based on traditional formulas out of the Chinese pharmacopoeia, right? These are ancient formulas that have been put together obviously used over the centuries and are renowned for being effective.
They are. They are based on these formulas. In fact, the breast care formula, which is on the website now, about 60% of that formula is directly from a Chinese oncology hospital. It's just a formula used for prevention or treatment. And the other 40% includes more modern aspects of other anti-cancer regimes. For example, I've drawn on some of the herbs that are used in the famous cancer formula called SEAC. Some people know about SEAC. Well, I've pulled some of the ingredients out of SEAC and incorporated in there. So the formula will not only work to serve simple liver stagnation, and it can be used to treat things like breast soreness and even just the common signs of premenstrual liver distress, but it can also be used for people who have breast cancer and treating breast cancer. And as I say, in fact, one of the interesting aspects about Oriental medicine today in China, in the way it's practiced in modern China today, is that in modern China is the only place on earth where we actually have institutionalized integrated medicine for cancer treatment. So if you go into a Chinese oncology hospital, there are two wings. On one wing, you have the allopathic medicine, surgery, chemotherapy. These forms of therapies are available to a woman. The next wing is the traditional medical wing. And in China, they treat cancer through an integrated approach. They use both forms of medicine. This is the only place on earth where it's actually institutionalized. Of course, many people do that in the West, but they have to do it on their own. And so China generates a body of statistics relative to cancer treatment, which are quite extraordinary, because they're treating millions of people on a regular basis there. And they generate success rates and remission rates that far exceed anything else we're seeing in the West, and it's directly because they are using an integrated approach. So yes, some of these formulas come right out of that experience. The breast care formula comes right out of the modern experience in China today.
So who is this formula for?
It can be for someone who has had a diagnosis of breast cancer, but I get a lot of requests from people who have had breast thermography, for example, and they're beginning to see early pockets of inflammation, hot spots in the breast tissue. This formula is good for them. This formula will clear out that inflammation. This formula will restore free flow in the liver. So in general, the people that tend to use that formula are people who are specifically intending to protect their breasts, or they're specifically treating an already established imbalance in the breasts, and they're typically seeing medical doctors for this circumstance, but they're open and interested in alternative medicine, and they can include that formula into their regime. But many, many people use it. I have people that practice breast thermography, and they will refer people to that formula. And so we've really had an opportunity using that formula in conjunction with other supplements, for example, such as DIM, D-I-M. And then the women go back and get breast thermography, and we can see that the hot spots have disappeared and the breast tissue has been restored to normal. So it can be used for people looking to protect their breasts. It can be used for people treating the disease. I will add to this statement. In China, if you have received the diagnosis of breast cancer, in addition to whatever you decide to do in the allopathic wing, your herbal medicine will consist of a formula to serve the breasts, and use an herbal formula to serve breast health and fight the cancer with herbal medicines. And it will also typically include a formula to boost immunity. This is a standard twofold approach that they put on to support all people who have received a diagnosis of cancer. They will receive a specific formula to fight that specific cancer, and they will receive a formula to boost immunity to help the body fight the cancer. And then they may even draw on chemotherapy, surgery, whatever. And they do use these traditional medicines throughout the treatment plan from start to finish. Now, many times in the West, people are warned by their oncologists, don't use Chinese herbs and don't use this and don't use that. I need to say that the research that comes out of China pretty much points to the fact that these people are wrong, that the herbs, when taken throughout the entire course, have a profoundly beneficial effect. So yes, that particular formula, breast care, is typically used by people who are looking to protect the breast tissue or treating an imbalance already established there.
Right, and I think that's important for people to really understand that the formula isn't just a formula if you're dealing with a more chronic stage of imbalance, such as breast cancer, but actually for any woman who is experiencing a variety of breast issues, be it fibrocystic breast disease, or if their breasts are sore, which always is an indication of too much estrogen going on for whatever reason, as we talked about, you know, throughout the show, that could be driving that problem. But there's, you know, a variety of things that can, or conditions that can certainly be benefited from getting formulas that are addressing and restoring the proper flow of energy in the body.
Yes, and if you use a formula, for example, like breast care, for sore and distended breasts, fibrocystic breasts, pretty much it's going to be a similar approach. It's going to be a similar formula. If you use these formulas early on, they work rather quickly and rather effectively. And that's really the work of staying healthy. It is a work. If you're going to remain healthy, if you're going to live a long and healthy life, we need to be attentive and we need to be responsive. So when we notice we're going out of balance, we need to respond and restore ourselves to balance. And nature's herbs are a very safe and effective way to go. The Chinese, as we opened the show, were considering these matters hundreds of years ago. And observe these signs and bring the body back into balance, and people can live long and healthy lives.
Well, Angelo, we've come to the end of another fascinating conversation. What is your website? How can people get hold of you, either have a consultation with you or order your herbs or learn more about your work?
They can go to our website, which is tbmedicine.com. That's T for traditional, B for botanical, medicine.com. Everything is there, the book, The Tao of Rejuvenation. There's a link to amazon.com right there. They can see some of the products that we're offering there, and they can certainly give us a ring. The phone number's on the website, 707-928-4126. It's always best to get a specific consultation so your medicines are directly conformed to what's happening in your body. So thank you so much, Dr. Selman.
Well, it's just been so enlightening, Angelo. Thank you so much for your great information and for the great work you are doing. And I just really encourage people to pick up the copy of your book, The Tao of Rejuvenation, and certainly have a visit at your website to see what you're doing. It's great stuff. And thanks again, and all the best. And we've come to the end of another one of our important shows for this Breast Health Awareness Month special. Just a reminder, please visit my website, What Women Must Know, to opt in to get this information, these recorded shows, and all sorts of other things that are going out to you during this month, as well as my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.